This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host. This hour, I'm going to spend a little bit of time here kicking off the show with Peter Buchvar. I'm also going to chat with Jeff Christian on more of the commodities, more of the precious metals. Please, everybody, keep on sending me all of the emails that you've been sending, and keep on tuning in throughout the week to all the daily editorials, and keep an eye out for some of those webinars that are going to continue to take place through the rest of this year, and undoubtedly through next year. As I mentioned, I'm kicking off the show with Peter Buchvar, Chief Investment Officer at Bleakley Advisory Group, also editor of the Book Report, which I will include a link to in that weekend show posting. Peter, let's talk about the story that I think continues to drive markets here, and that is excitement around the vaccine. We're seeing sentiment levels for the broad averages at not historic highs, but man, oh man, recently I think the spread between bulls and bears reached highs that we hadn't seen in about a decade. So it does just show how optimistic everybody is, and that has continued to push markets broadly into new all-time highs. What do you think about all this excitement around the vaccine that has started rolling out this week in select countries?
Well, after what was an extraordinarily difficult 2020 in terms of the economy and our daily lives, this is obviously incredible news that we should all be grateful for, and that things will get much better on that front. But markets, we know, have been a different story, and they've had a tremendous year this year. Part of the rally recently, though, has been in anticipation of the benefits that we're going to see next year. And so while I seem to have gotten questions every single day this year of why is the market doing so well when we're in the middle of a pandemic, I think that next year could be why isn't the market doing so well now that things are getting much better and our lives are returning to normal. And I think the swing factor in that is, you know, putting aside we have obviously the work from home stocks that benefited this year while everything else did not, obviously the actions of our central banks that hugely expanded QE and Fed obviously cutting rates back to zero and so on and so on. You know, help to light a fire under the market, the animal spirits of the market, and we'll see whether that can be sustained next year with when things get better, because I don't believe that interest rates will stay as low as they are. I think that the recent move higher we've seen will continue. I'm expecting higher inflation, and we'll see how markets respond in that, even though I'm pretty optimistic on the economy and the vaccine.
Okay, yeah, that's a good balance there, because last time I had you on the show about a month ago, you were pointing to the rebound in China and what could be possible for the immediate growth if people can get back to work or at least back to some sort of the daily lives. But your comments there on yields, the long end has really been moving. The 10-year is, I think, a little bit more than doubled in the last 4 months. But inflation expectations have also followed along in approximately a corresponding rate compared to that long end. How are you balancing these two aspects out then moving into next year?
Well, it is very interesting to the point about inflation expectations. The applied rate in the TIPS market is at the highest level since May 2019, and you can only imagine where this will go with the vaccine. We saw today in the U.S. The consumer price index were November, and that was higher than expected, holding at a 1.6% level. But I think what is noteworthy about it is that we're seeing this big increase in goods prices. Now, historically, goods prices are typically under pressure. You have benefits of technology, manufacturing efficiency, and there's just a natural lid on that. And usually, the inflation that we see is on the services side. Well, services inflation is actually moderated. A lot of that has to do with rents slowing down and medical care. But we're seeing this big pickup on the goods side. And I think a lot of that has to do with supply chain problems across the board, in addition to a huge spike in transportation costs where every single good that's manufactured ends up being transported in some fashion. But I think next year with the vaccine, with demand side coming back pretty strongly, that the services inflation is going to pick up again. I mean, we're seeing house price increases running 7% a year on an annualized basis. Rents will certainly reverse to the upside again. And then I think you see a continuation of the good side inflation that I think you could be seeing 3/10, 4/10 CPI prints a month next year. And the monetary policy that is in place right now is in a COVID world. Next year, we are hoping we go into a post-COVID world. So if you get higher inflation and the vaccine, well, how do these central banks substantiate why they're continuing to do what they're doing? I mean, you had the ECB today that's talking about its purchases going into 2022. I mean, we're about to massively roll out a vaccine, and they think that there's a need to do more easing. First of all, it's not even easing. It's just financing government debts and deficits. But I think that the market and the inflation stats are going to force their hands, and that can create an issue for PE multiples, which are literally off the charts and coincident with the huge amount of enthusiasm in markets as measured, as you talked about earlier, in a bunch of different sentiment metrics that some of it is at the highest level since 2000.
So, Peter, are you expecting a change in central bank policy? I know that the ECB, yes, they did make the comment projecting out to 2022. The Fed has even made projections out to, I believe, past 2022 about low interest rates and an easy monetary policy. However, if this vaccine rollout does go smoothly, if inflation data starts moving higher and we do start seeing inflation, do central banks change their policies next year?
I think they're going to be forced to, not because they necessarily want to so soon. I mean, even the ECB, along with their news today, they did say that, this is Thursday, that they may not even follow through on what they're doing. I think they just wanted to throw another thing against the wall. But I do think that there's no question they'll overstay their welcome. But I think that they'll sort of be forced to do something if these inflation stats come in as I expect them to, and if long rates start to respond and sort of tighten for them.
So, Peter, one story of this year for the broad averages, though, I think, after that whole pandemic washout in March, has been the whole concept of rotation. Initially, it was these stay-at-home stocks and the high-flying tech stocks that led the market higher, and recently it has been this rotation into lagging sectors. If we do get a bit of a shakeup next year and maybe a change in policy or an expected change in policy from central banks, what does the rotation look like out of some of the benefiting sectors right now?
Well, the cheaper stuff should do well. The expensive stuff will be more challenged. I mean, if I'm right on inflation, I'm pretty bullish on the commodity space across the board, whether it's energy, ag, industrial metals, precious metals. I think bank stocks can benefit. If the yield curve steepens, then a lot of the other things that, while they've rebounded over the past 6 weeks, have been pretty much beaten down this year as things close down, while the stocks that are trading at 35, 40, 50 times earnings and 50, 75 to 200 times sales, they'll be more vulnerable to multiple compression. Even though maybe their businesses will be fine next year, I think the story for 2021 is what the right PE multiple is going to be. Again, because I'm excited about the vaccine, hopeful on the economy, but if I'm right on rates and inflation, I have to believe there's going to be a compression on the PE side, and I think where the market goes will be to what extent we get that compression.
All right, Peter, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but I'm having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. I will be right back with Peter Bookbar.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is George Dory from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-215-1727. 800-215-1727. That's 800-215-1727.
Your weekly
daily fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. I am continuing to chat with Peter Buchbar. Just as a quick note for everyone listening on the radio, please visit our website, kereport.com. That's where you can hear these full interviews without some, unfortunately, time constrictions that we have on the radio show. That being said, Peter, let's shift our focus a bit more into commodities, base metals, something like copper. Copper just continues to break out here. It's now trading at levels that we haven't seen since very early on 2013. The argument being that some copper stocks haven't really followed along, but hey, there's no doubt that copper's breakout is for real, all on the back of hopes that we are getting back to some sort of daily life and there's going to be a lot of money dumped into some sort of rebuilding in a sense. How sustainable is copper's run? What do you think about base metals broadly?
Well, copper is interesting because you have the secular demand drivers for it. Usually, historically, copper was just this sort of construction metal, and particularly as many apartment buildings are being built in China, that helped to drive the demand for copper. But now copper is finding sort of new age uses in renewables, whether it's solar panels or electric vehicle batteries, where an electric car is going to use possibly 4 to 5 times as much copper as one that uses an internal combustion engine. And then on the demand side, there's been a dearth of supply over the last couple of years, particularly this year, but a lot of it has to do with COVID and quarantines. But there's a supply-demand imbalance that I think is only going to accentuate in the next couple of years, particularly as the economy rebounds. So I wouldn't be surprised if copper tested its highs of, mid-2000s, and I wouldn't be surprised if it even surpassed that.
Okay, hey, that's very interesting. How much of this is also dependent on some sort of an infrastructure bill? Are you putting any faith in that?
I put zero faith in an infrastructure bill. But even that, I mean, relying on government spending on infrastructure from the federal level, I don't think it's just something that we should put our chips on. I mean, it sounds good on paper that, sort of rebuild things, but, a lot of the money is wasted. We heard all about shovel ready, 10 years ago, and there's no such thing. And, so it's not part of my thesis. To me, the vaccine is a much more important driver of where copper prices go rather than whether we get or we don't get an infrastructure package. Keep in mind that the infrastructure, on a state basis, things are getting rebuilt all the time. There's always some road being paved, and I live in New Jersey, and they just announced they're going to be spending almost $200 million to rebuild one of the train stations. That's happening without a federal government infrastructure spending bill.
Yeah, I've gotten numb to the whole fact of that argument being there's going to be an infrastructure bill coming because I've heard it for year over year and nothing's come. But you are right, there is always infrastructure being rebuilt. Now, you even made a comment about this renewable energy run. Clean energy has just been on a tear. Solar, clean energy, ETFs, both doing well. And that does fall down to benefit copper as well. How sustainable is this run that we have seen in clean energy?
Well, there's no question it's a multi-decade secular driver. Just a question of who benefits the most and what the economics will end up being. But I think there's no question it has long-term legs. That said, I still think, at least in the very short term, the short term being the next year or two, that we may actually get a surprise rally in a lot of the fossil fuel prices, natural gas and crude oil in particular. So there is going to be time of a transition that's going to take place. But no question, renewables are here as they become more cost competitive.
Yeah, that is true. What about the older school energy sources? Oil has been on a run, although this week with the OPEC meeting, kind of hit its head right around $45 a barrel for crude. Any faith on oil and broadly older energies running higher?
I've been pretty bullish on energy prices for the last couple months. In one of my notes months ago, I argued that energy stocks were going to outperform FANG over the next couple of years, and I still believe that. Now, I'm not a long-term believer in pumping crude oil out of the ground, much more bullish on natural gas, but I think there's going to be a spike in prices, and that was only, to me, highlighted by this vaccine, and that the demand side is going to come back pretty strong. We've had a dearth of investment over the last couple of years. Shale oil may be tough to get back to its 2019 production levels. And that I wouldn't be surprised if we saw $60 oil again over the next year.
Okay. Let's now talk about precious metals, because I'm sensing, or I'm getting a lot of push and pull factors here. Yes, inflation could run next year. That should help the precious metals. But rates, yields broadly could also move higher as well. That doesn't really help the precious metals. And the fact of the matter that we could have central banks maybe become slightly less easier. Obviously, they're not going to turn off those taps. But again, it is all in the growth of their easy money supply or easy money policies. What's the sweet spot for precious metals next year?
Well, if central banks sort of back off, that'll be in response to higher inflation. If we get higher inflation, they'll still be slow in raising interest rates, and we'll see a further decline in real rates. At the same time, I think this dollar weakness is only going to continue as the U.S. exploding debts and deficits continue to be a problem for the dollar. So I think that we're heading into a great setup for gold and silver. I mean, I try to – gold sold off in November because of the vaccine. So that implies that gold still is this safe haven in times of trouble and should be sold when things are fine. And that's never long-lasting. Gold's going to trade off the direction of fiat currencies, particularly the dollar, and it's going to trade off real rates, and that's it. All the other stuff is just short-term noise. So right now we're continuing to see weakness in the dollar. We're trading at the lowest level against a variety of currencies since spring of 2018, and we're seeing real rates that are pretty close to the recent bottoms. Though that setup will continue to be bullish for gold and silver.
What do you think could throw that on its head then? What could slow down gold and silver's run higher?
If Jay Powell turns into somebody, Paul Volcker, then maybe that would change the equation for the dollar and precious metals. But I don't see him putting on his Volcker costume anytime soon.
Peter, any insights into next year in terms of key stories, key sectors, anything key that you're going to be watching for here, just as a little summary before I get you out of here?
It's to what extent does the economy rebound on the reopening? I'm pretty optimistic it'll come back pretty sharply, but you know, there certainly are going to be long-term scars from what we experienced this year, so there are pockets that are not going to come back as quickly. And we have to watch this inflation story, which I think is going to get further leg next year. And I think this rise in long rates, this rise in inflation expectations, is sort of a dress rehearsal for what we're going to see next year.
Okay. Hey, Peter, great having you on the show. Thank you, as always, for your time. And everybody, I highly recommend going to check out Peter's blog. That is bookreport.com. Again, I will post a link in this weekend show posting. Peter, great chatting with you, buddy. Thank you again for your time. I hope you have a very happy holiday season, and I look forward to chatting with you in 2021.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Another legal defeat for President Trump and all the president's men. The Supreme Court rejected yesterday a lawsuit backed by the president, 19 Republican state attorneys general, and more than 100 congressional Republicans. It's the second time the high court turned down a challenge to now President-elect Joe Biden's victory. The lawsuit was filed by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton against Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The court, in a brief order, said Texas did not have legal standing to sue the other states. Federal officials gave final approval to the COVID-19 vaccine developed by Pfizer and German partner BioNTech. The approval comes after an independent panel of experts recommended for the vaccine to be approved. A second vaccine by Moderna could roll out in another week. Johnson & Johnson expects to find out if its vaccine candidate is working next month. This is USA Radio News. Indoor dining in New York City will be suspended starting Monday. It's an effort to slow the spread of the coronavirus. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo explains the combination of CDC guidance and the Big Apple's population density prompted the order.
The hospitalizations have continued to increase in New York City. We said that we would watch it. If the hospital rate didn't stabilize, we would close indoor dining. It is not.
Outdoor dining and takeout service is not affected. Gyms and salons will be allowed to operate. While the state will extend a commercial eviction moratorium, Cuomo called on the federal government to assist restaurants in the next coronavirus relief package. Tanya Gersh, who won a $14 million judgment against Andrew Anglin, publisher of the neo-Nazi website The Daily Stormer, wants to know where the money is. Gersh, a real estate agent in Montana, and her Jewish family were targets of an anti-Semitic harassment campaign. Her attorney said Anglin has not paid Gersh a dime. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Peter Buchvar. In this segment, switching our focus a little bit more exclusively on the commodities sector, as I am chatting with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Now, Jeff, if we take a step back and recap this year for commodities, it's been a good year for pretty much every commodity. Just recently, base metals have really broken out. Precious metals had their time to shine in about the first half of the year. Which commodities and related commodity moves higher and breakouts have caught your eye the most this year, Jeff?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's tough to call, but I would say it has to be gold first and foremost, and then, you know, silver secondarily. Copper has been a very interesting market this year. And then just in the last week or so, we've started to pay attention to platinum. You know, we have been of the view that platinum would rise at some point over the next few years. And, you know, it's been sort of stuck in this $800 to $1,000 range for a long period of time. We're seeing it try to break out of that in the last couple weeks. And it maybe it's a little bit too early to say that it has broken out above it. But, you know, there's a lot of inert interest on the part of investors in platinum. And they've been waiting for a sign that the price really has bottomed out and is really going to rise again. And we may be starting to see that at the end of this year going into next year. So, but, you know, I think the big story in my mind is gold, you know, for the commodities markets.
So, Jeff, look, gold has been correcting for the last about four, almost 5 months. Looks like it might have put in a short-term bottom here right around this 1760 level. What's your take on this pullback that really started after that peak right around 2100 was reached?
Well, yeah, to understand the pullback, you have to understand the increase. If you go back to June and July, well, the gold price, you know, the gold price started the year much lower. You know, I mean, it was around $1,600, I guess, which was actually pretty high for gold, close to the record, not that far from the record. But, you know, it started rising, it sold off in March like everything else, and then it was rising steadily. And by June or July, it was trading around 1840. And the increase from, say, 1840, 1850 to 2080, over the course of July into August 9th, a big part of that increase was the roll of the August gold COMEX contract into December. And that roll, you know, the sharps were buying back August and selling December, and that sometimes has the effect of driving the price up. And so a large part of that $200 price move was a mechanical factor on the COMEX futures market. By August 9th, the August low was behind us, and the price fell like $210, $215 in 4 days, almost back to, you know, 1900, well, below at $1,900 briefly. And then it started sliding. And that's important to understand. So when you start saying, well, you know, gold's trading at 1840 today, and it's down from that peak in August, the reality is it's sort of where, well, it is where it was in June and July, and it still has a tremendous amount of upward momentum. Looking at the mechanics, you can say, okay, now we've had the move from December into the February contract. There's still a lot of open interest. There's still a lot of interest in gold. So our expectation is the gold price rises. You know, we had sort of been saying look for the price to come off after the August roll and look for it to consolidate. We still expect the gold price to rise. We expect it to possibly rise strongly in January for a variety of factors, including the rolling out of the February contract into April. And so we're still looking for gold prices to rise and probably rise to record levels, you know, another 10% on an annual average basis possibly next year. So what we're looking at in terms of prices down from August is, first off, the August was kind of an aberration. It was a spike up and then a spike back down on 4 days. And we're seeing base building in our mind. With the idea that the gold price moves from 1800, 1860 now up toward $2,000, possibly in the first quarter of next year.
Okay. Hey, I agree with you, Jeff, is that this correction very much needed for the market, and especially if we can form a bottom around that 1760 level, that could be a very strong bottom to move higher again. Let's talk about base metals, too, because it's been a pretty significant breakout that copper has gone through just in the last about month and a half now. Copper's trading at levels we haven't seen since early 2013. Jeff, what is this rise in copper telling you, and do you think that it's gotten maybe a little too overdone on the upside?
I do think copper's gotten a little overdone on the upside. I think there are three factors behind the rise in copper prices. One is that fabrication demand is strong and is recovering. You've seen, particularly in China, increased demand for copper. When the pandemic and the lockdown hit, a lot of fabricators disgorged their inventories. And so when fabricators started restarting their factories, they needed to rebuild their working inventories as well as buy for current consumption. So I think that was one of the factors. Another factor is that mine production comes on more slowly after it's been shut down or cut back it responds and recovers more slowly than fabrication demand. So you've got this shorter term tightness. You have investors buying copper both because they're speculating that the recovery will boost demand strongly. And also you still have investors buying copper because they think there won't be enough copper to meet future electric vehicle demand. And I think that relationship between electric vehicles and the pace of increase in market share of electric vehicles and the demand for copper is probably misunderstood by a lot of people in the investment market, but that doesn't matter. The reality, you know, like as in politics and pandemics, the reality of where the price goes depends more on what people think or believe rather than what they know. And so I think that you've seen a lot of investment demand and speculative demand come into copper, and some of that could dissipate, which could take some of the steam and upward pressure out of the copper price.
So, Jeff, does that mean next year you see a bit of a lid put on the copper price?
Thank you for asking that, because it's a very good question, because it's like palladium, where we are, it's not that we're bearish on copper, it's that we're less bullish. You know, we do think that there is a lid on the price, and you know, the price could have peaked out around wherever it was, you know, $7,000 a ton, or 7,500 a ton. We do think that there is the possibility that the price moves sideways to lower, but not sharply lower. I mean, we're talking about 6,500, which is what we saw just, you know, 2 months ago or so as a base for copper. But we think that 2021 could see copper prices basically move sideways in a channel and do some consolidation with higher prices later, you know, but beyond 2021.
All right. Hey, Jeff, great chatting with you. Thanks for sharing your insights here on the commodities broadly. It's great having you on the show. I hope you have a great rest of your December. I'm sure we will talk early on in 2021. Jeff, thank you so much for your time this weekend.
All right. Yeah, have a good holiday season, and I'll talk to you next year.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are getting a company update, as I typically like to wrap up this hour with a key company update, and we had another development this week coming out of Great Bear Resources. Great Bear is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Chris Taylor. Now, Chris, let's follow up on news that came out on December 9th, about the middle of the week last week. The headline says Great Bear drills 510-meter step down, doubles hinge zone depth with 15 grams per ton gold over about 5 meters. This is almost 1,200 meters down hole. Now, just to simplify it a little bit, this is the second deep drill hole at Dixie, and even in your comment in the press release, this hole has more than doubled the depth of the hinge zone to over 850 vertical meters. Chris, give us a little bit more insights on this hole, please.
Thanks, Corey, and good to talk with you again. Some of these things, you're at a bit of a loss for words. Like, we read frequently in our industry about small step outs, 10 meters, 20 meters, 50 meters, you know. These are considered to be big step outs. You know, here we went in with over a 500 meter step out from the hinge zone, and we hit the mineralization, high grade gold over significant widths, right where we thought it would be. So, I mean, effectively for us, that shows us a few things. Number one, the hinge zone itself looks to be a big system. And that's impressive in the sense that, you know, in terms of geometry and potential size by itself, without thinking about the LP fault or other zones, you know, on the project, it has the potential to match some of these much bigger projects in the Red Lake area. And it's just a satellite occurrence around the LP fault. But the other implication is a little bit more broad. And that fits with what we see again and again across the property, that the deeper we go, in fact, we tend to get more gold zones, and the whole system seems to be broadening out. So the predictability, the depth extent, and the implications for the project as a whole are all really incredible. It's incredible as a geologist to see yourself hit so consistently, and I hate to say it, but so easily, you know, on such a big step down. Like, nobody else in the world is really doing 500-meter step downs like that and hitting with this kind of consistency. So anyway, right now we're two for two.
Chris, what is the focus then of the companies you continue to drill off this project? Because the LP fault, I know that's massive already. You don't have any resources out, but you're not turning away from the LP fault. That's still a big value driver, but also these deep holes, they're also showing opportunity. So where is the company focusing as we move into next year?
Well, our focus here, Corey, is really to show this tier one kind of scenario. And tier one, you know, we've talked about it before, you and I, and it's that potential to have more than 10 million ounces, more than 10 years of production and more than half a million ounces per year of production. So we want to show right out of the gate with the company that we've got a tier one asset on our hands. And the focus is going to remain is 5 rigs on the LP fault over the course of 2021. And we actually started talking really just publicly for the first time about adding more drill rigs to the project. And I could see a couple more rigs, a few more rigs coming on and doing just steady step out, step down and fill in work on the Dixie Limb and the Hinge Zone as well. So keep the focus on delivering that tier one potential, because those projects, there's only 17 on the planet. Right. So people don't generally realize that, but out of the hundreds and hundreds of gold mines in the world, there are only 17 tier one projects right now. And if we have a tier one project in our hands at Dixie, that will put us in very rarefied company. And the valuation prospect there is, very appealing.
Okay, let's take a step back and talk about valuation of the company, because in all fairness, the Great Bear has performed very, very well. It's a little under a $1 billion market cap, I believe more around like $800 million. But when you look at some other projects in the area, give us a little comparison of valuation for Great Bear compared to some of the other projects nearby.
I don't want to name specifically of companies, but in the Red Lake area right now, you can see that companies are generating about $1,000 an ounce in the ground valuations up to that level when they go through into the production stage of mining. And obviously, we're pre-production right now, but if you read the analyst consensus reports on Great Bear, you know, they don't think we're a 1 million ounce kind of deposit. They're envisioning us hitting that tier one character, which means more than 5 million ounces. So if you can achieve on a built basis and an underground mining basis in Red Lake over $1 billion value based on, you know, roughly 1 million ounces of reserves and, about $1,000 an ounce, what would the value of Great Bear be if it's many times that? And I think that's really our task, is to continue to deliver as we have been doing, continue to advance the project, de-risk the project, and capture that potential value, which is obviously multiples of where we're sitting right now. If we are in that tier one threshold, our valuation will be substantially larger, you know, than where it is currently.
Okay, so it's all about that re-rate, right, as you move through and de-risk this project. But it sounds like there's still so much exploration ongoing and available to you guys. What is that balance like?
Right now, I would say the plan is for about 90% of the drilling to go into the sort of expansion definition. It's a combination of taking things further down dip along strike and then filling in the holes in what you found. When you're dealing with like a multi-kilometer system, like we're drilling off a grid over more than 5 kilometers right now. We've actually done test drilling over 11 kilometers, as we've talked about before. You still need to keep the focus on that, and probably about 10% of the work over the course of the year will be testing additional targets and doing things like this news release this week, which is these massive step downs to show that, yes, we're going to give you X number of ounces at the end of the day and the maiden resource delivery, but when you think about what that entails, it's like drilling off the tip of an iceberg, because you're never going to comprehensively drill off a project of our size like Dixie before that initial maiden resource. It's not technically feasible. It's not possible to do that. But you can show people that if the top of the system is going to deliver this sort of tier one character, what would the entire system be? And in order to show the potential of the entire system, you have to do some additional deep drill holes. You have to do some additional regional drill holes. So there'll be probably about 10% of the work will do that, whereas 90% is showing you the deliverable on that value proposition.
Okay, so that is the de-risking, right? Proving up that there is continuity and really eventually putting together some sort of resource. But do you guys even have a time frame on when an initial resource could come out here?
I think roughly the drilling on it's going to be done somewhere in the summer, just roughly speaking. You know, it has been a COVID year. We've all learned our lessons about giving hard and fast deadlines, but roughly in the summer, you'll probably be done the drilling, maybe some pickup holes. But I would imagine that resource is going to come out towards the end of next year. And when that comes, that's again when we anticipate, you know, you're looking at these sort of re-rating events that you'd be talking about. Although, you know, I got to say, Corey, you know, we showed recently, we did a very long webinar just about a week ago, and you could see, if you can watch an hour and 40 minute long video of Bob and myself talking about the potential for the project, I'd say that we have a better level of data disclosure. You can go to the website, download all the holes, the tables, the collar locations, plot it all up on your own. By the time we get to that resource publication, I think just about everybody in the world that cares to do so will pretty much know what that number is before it happens. So if you're talking about delivering that extra value, I think it comes in incrementally over the course of the year, because the drill results keep filling it in and expanding it incrementally over the course of the year.
All right, let's wrap it up here just with a general overview of what investors can expect news flow wise as we move into next year, please, Chris.
Hey, Corey. Yeah, so we're going to see drill results all the time. We've done that. I think I tallied it up the other day. I think we had about 20 different rounds of news over 2020. So in 2021, it won't be any less than that. And then you're going to see metallurgy, and you're going to see developments at the project, and you're going to see the continued growth of the company, which is bringing in qualified people. Like this year, we brought in Michael Kenyon on the board. We're bringing in Paula Rogers on the board of directors. So that growth of the company from being a really good explorer to a really good developer. So all of those types of items will continue to occur. One of the big thresholds this year was getting our First Nations Exploration Benefits Agreement in place. So you'll keep seeing project advancement notes. You'll keep seeing new people with new talents. And you'll keep seeing, I think, you know, here's a forward-looking statement. I think you'll keep seeing really good gold results coming out consistently over the year, too. So anyway, that's what you have to look forward to. In a scope, I don't think that very many companies can match.
Fair enough, Chris. Hey, it's fun following along with this story. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Everybody, thank you for tuning into this weekend show. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend, and I will be back at it Monday morning. Chris, thank you again for your time this weekend. Have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Youngevity. Teamgaday.com.